All right, welcome to the Kew Gardens Festival of Cinema podcast talks. We're here today. I'm John Fallon of the Indie Film NYC podcast, and we're here talking all about the Kew Gardens Festival of Cinema. We're going to talk with programmer Bob, and so I've got my co-host today, Craig.
Hi, everybody. I'm Craig Horsley, and we're broadcasting from Matisse Organic Coffee and Tea Cafe on Metropolitan Avenue in Kew Gardens, and introducing Bob.
Oh, yes. My name is Bob Giovanelli, and programming director of this festival. With Jason and I programmed it in a way together, but he had so many balls to juggle that I focused on the content and always checked with him. Like, if I knew about a film, I'd say, Jason, let's check this film out. So, and we shaped like different shorts programs together, and which short should go with which feature. That was the fun of it.
So how did you initially get involved? Like, how did Jason rope you in, I guess?
I've known Jason off and on through the years, because I've dabbled in casting, so I guess I knew him first as an actor with a headshot, like a ways back. I'm trying to remember exactly from what project, but and then when I moved to Kew Gardens about 11 years ago, he actually lives pretty close, and he said, oh, you're in Kew Gardens, let's meet for a coffee. And we talked, stayed in touch, and then because I work at various film festivals, normally as a house manager at the Sarasota Film Festival in Florida every spring, he came down, he was part of a film. So I was like, hey, Jason, and, our bond got a little bit stronger. And then when he was thinking of starting this, he was like, he knew that, like my nickname, I didn't pick this, but people have called me Film Festival Bob because of I work Sundance every year. I worked Hampton's Film Festival for many years. So normally as a house manager, once in a while a volunteers coordinator, and a few times as a screener of films. So I actually screened films most recently for Sundance just under 2 years ago, and I'm hoping to maybe be involved again this year.
Great.
Did you start with Jason in November when this idea came aboard?
That's practically when he talked to me. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was an early wintry feel. I remember it was a cold day, and I said, let's go to Dunkin' Donuts, which only has two tables, and the Dunkin' Donuts here in Kew Gardens. And we talked, and yeah, he told me about his ideas, and I was like, wow, this sounds fascinating. And I live I'm an 8-minute walk from the theater. If I drove, it would be a minute and a half. So it's pretty easy to go. Like at the end of the day, like they didn't have to put me up. I have lodging. I live here. It was a no brainer.
A minute and a half drive, but 15 minutes to find a parking spot.
Right. Well, that's why I walk. And also, it's just it was nice to have a shape, because here's a new film festival. Let's birth this baby, And so
and you got submissions from all over the world.
Yeah.
Yep. How many submissions?
I forget the number. Jason knows the number more, because he was involved with looking at with his board, looking at a lot of the films early on.
Right,
and
included.
Right, you know that, John. Right.
Yeah, I think
you're part of that.
We topped out just under 500 films.
Yeah, I know we didn't go. I don't think we went past 500.
Yeah, it was somewhere in the 450 range,
which is amazing for a first time festival.
Exactly.
So I we talked, and he knew that I'd be busy with different festivals through the January Sundance. Sarasota is like March, April, and then Montclair Film Festival I'm involved with in mid-May, or early May, and then it's over. And then he said, all right, you can start looking at films that we found like some of the best ones, right, and let's have your opinion. So that's what, and so mid-May to mid-June, my eyes bugged out. Yeah. And watched so many films.
It's a great variety of short films and full features. How did you, and each ticket at least gets you a short and a full.
At least a short and a feature. The only time we're showing just a feature are the free events at the Queen's Museum, where like we showed The Witness the other day, but with a long Q&A. And coming up soon is Trafficking with a long Q&A, and Off the Rails, which is an outdoor screening. I don't think there's a Q&A for that, but those are special screenings. No money needed, free to the public, so those have no shorts. Everything else has at least one short with it, if not two.
And how did you come up with pairing the shorts with the film? Are they somewhat related? Or?
Well, that was the fun of it. Like last night, we showed the feature One Buck, which is this film about people who are down on their luck, and a dollar gets passed around them, and what ties them together. And it's kind of crime related. And then we saw a short where this guy has to pawn his guitar, and he might have done something. I don't want to give it away if anyone ever sees it. The short was called This Modern Man Is Beat. Really good short. And we thought that would be a nice pairing with that feature. So, and then just now, as we speak, there is our feature film is an experimental film that's showing. So we put two shorts with it that were pretty short, and they're experimental as well. So thematically, they might not be the same story. The filmmaking might be totally different, but they feel like they go together. And that was the fun of putting together the shorts women block the other day, Strengthen the Female Bond. I saw a lot of shorts that were two women. They could have been sisters. They could have been mother and daughter. It could have been therapist and patient. And it was a no-brainer to put them together, and it was a fun short that way. They flowed visually kind of together.
Yeah. So it was a lot of fun for you to shape this festival, the look of this festival.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess what were you looking for that you maybe didn't get?
What were you looking for? I mean, we tried to get a couple of films that we just couldn't get. There was one feature we almost considered, but then I was looking on the internet, and it actually played a somewhat recent film festival in Brooklyn, and we're like, oh, you know, I don't know, it won't feel as special if we have the feature just a month later. So, like, even though it was a good feature, we're like, well, let's look for something else that might not have ever played anywhere. So that was one of the things we would look for.
So that was important to you, to showcase...
Yeah,
films that are not getting the attention they maybe should.
Right, right. I mean, some films have played a lot. Like, there was one film that had played various film festivals recently, a documentary called Supergirl. And that, you know, that even though that's been seen at various festivals, it's such a good film. And we didn't have too many family-friendly films got submitted to us. So therefore, we didn't have any kind of, like, family day or family block. But this was a documentary feature where we put a short with it that was about yoga competition. And Supergirl is not about a superhero, not about that girl. It's about a young, real teenage girl, young girl, who does weightlifting. And she qualifies for big... things. So, like, those two seem to go together. So, like, Supergirl was we wanted to have that with us, so we invited, you know, we got that, and, like, we talked about it and it came in. But what would, part of the fun of, like, what you said was when Jason and I put all the films with on index cards on a big long table at our Maple Grove Cemetery office building, and it was so much fun on this big table to move the cards around and go, that might go with that, and that might go with that.
Nice. So what do you hope, you know, obviously we're kind of in the midst of the inaugural year. I mean, I think everything's going very well.
Yeah.
We had a comedy show last night that had some really good turnout. We're going to start the panels, I believe, today.
The panels will be on Saturday.
On Saturday.
Yeah. So, yeah. Three panels back to back. Okay. At the Maple Grove Cemetery's modern building, which is just down the hill from where our headquarters is. Yeah.
Great. And so what do you want to see kind of in the future? What are your thoughts about how we can build on this year?
Well, you know, what's great is, like, and everything starts with its baby steps. This is a baby steps year for the festival. You know, it's like people getting to know it. And so far we've had so many good comments from people. The community is thanking us for bringing these films here. Many filmmakers who live in New York and actors were like, I've never been to Kew Gardens. Mm-hmm. And or, I've never been to this theater. Because, you know, I got to say that the Kew Gardens Cinemas is the only... actual commercial movie theater in all of Queens that shows specifically indie films, foreign films, and it's a no-brainer. It's like an easy fit for a film festival to use one of the auditoriums there. So that it's bringing people to go, hey, this is a gorgeous theater with all the old movie posters in the hallway.
Yeah, when Jason, Carolyn, and I first started talking, that was, you know, until we got the definite that we were going to use Kew Gardens Cinemas, it was still just an idea.
Yeah.
And once that came together, then you're right. It was a no-brainer because those are the kinds of films we wanted to showcase here and, you know, really illustrate.
Right. So it wouldn't have been called the Kew Gardens Festival if we got a theater in Jackson Heights, for example?
I guess not. Yeah. I mean, the Regal 12 on...
Right. Well, you know, what's funny is once like Tribeca... became a film festival, it's like that's a neighborhood. So it's like it started to the trend of neighborhoods calling themselves film festivals. You know, there's a Greenwich Village there's a Soho film festival. So, you know, in a way, it's like my joke is eventually there'll be the 33rd and 3rd Street film festival. Corner. It's that corner, you know.
I mean, probably the reality would have been something like it would have been the Forest Hills Festival or something like
Could
that.
Could have been if we were in Forest Hills too, sure.
Sort. I mean, you know, kind of the location just happens to have the same name as the neighborhood, which is great.
But it's very, like, no pun intended that we're in an organic coffee and tea shop, but it felt very organic to have this film festival, which is a lot of the stuff that they show at that theater.
Right.
You know, it's primarily, I mean, now and then a good Hollywood film comes in there, but like, but a good, a smart Hollywood film maybe, you know, like, they, like not too many superhero movies play there.
Well, I think they play Jackie there, for instance.
Yeah, which, definitely.
You know, is a Hollywood film.
Right. Ah, we have a guest. Yes, right. This is as we.
Yeah, so we're getting a jumper in here. We got the
plunge right in.
Great. Hi.
Hi. So if you could just introduce yourself and what your film is.
Yeah, I'm Grace Mellon. I am the writer, producer, and also acted in Bath Salt, a short film at Kew Gardens.
Great. And so we're speaking with Bob Giovanelli, who is the really the programmer of the festival and kind of takes care of a lot of odds and ends that, you know, he's been a real good guide for us, being that he's been around a bunch of the big festivals.
Well, what's great is her short played the other night in that shorts program that I mentioned before. It was so great to see all these two women short films, and it was like it seemed thematically perfect to put them together, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw that as well, and I don't think that's something that you see very often, certainly not in mainstream films.
Right. And so you were at the screening, you had a good experience?
I did. I really did. I had a wonderful experience. Seemed that I got a lot of compliments that seemed very authentic and very, I'm trying to find the right word. Like professional, like a lot of other filmmakers who were there, who were all women, we, you know, discussed networking, and it was very much like an instant camaraderie because of all being women filmmakers, and how, despite wonderful like progression and changes, that's still puts you at a slight disadvantage in the film world because it is a male dominated field. So
for anybody who maybe didn't get a chance to check out the film, tell us just real quick, what is your film about?
My film is about a teenage cancer survivor who learns her friend from the hospital has died. It's a semi-autobiographical piece. I'm a two-time cancer survivor, and I wanted to show the aftermath and the a different side to the cancer experience that isn't just about a cancer patient, but someone who has gone through it and survived and still dealing with the emotions and the guilt that come with going through something like that.
And so are you Queens native? Or
No, I'm from Chicago.
So how did you find our festival, and why did you want to be part of our inaugural year of the Kew Gardens Festival?
I found it on Without a Box, a submission site for films, and it looked really interesting and unique and very dedicated to the independent film and not just the, popular, famous, mainstream film. And so that got my interest, and I love New York City. I want to live in New York City someday, so it's a top priority for me to be at a festival that was in New York.
Is this your first festival?
No, I was at a festival in Minneapolis in April. Yeah, that's where we premiered.
And so what are you hoping comes out of this experience for you professionally?
Out of Kew Gardens specifically? Or
just the running the festival circuit and having this voice out there. Is there more you want to say? Or what do you want to do with film in general?
In general, I want to keep telling stories that I think are authentic and resonate with people who have been through traumatic experiences, and I want to keep telling stories about women and relationships between women, and I'm hoping that this film sort of launches me into a world where I meet other really wonderful creative filmmakers who I can form lifelong professional connections with.
So, Bob, when you were screening the films and you came across Bath Salt,
mm-hmm.
you know, give us a little bit of insight into what stands out when you're watching films for programming. What stood out about her film, maybe?
Her film was just so, I mean, without knowing her true story, that it was semi-autobiographical, it was just a nice, resonant piece of filmmaking. The bond between these two girls sitting in a bathtub for the most part, you know, and they're bonding and they go through different emotions. So it's not just a drama. It's not just comedy. It was a mixture. It was a nice bit. It felt like real life. It definitely felt like real life. And there's a couple of other characters in the film, but it felt very real. And I just was like, it's just one of those shorts that now and then when you watch, as a programmer, I'm realizing when you watch a lot of films, whether they're shorts, whether they're features, you know, some pop up. They're like, not to use a Gardens reference because of Kew Gardens. It sounds like we're in the botanical gardens.
Right.
But it's like there's a beautiful flower that pops up among the weeds. It's like, oh, this is a good one. Let's get this one in the festival. Let's invite them. By inviting you, you could have said, I mean, you could say no, although, I mean, if you submit to a festival, I don't know why you would, but we invite filmmakers,
sure.
And then if a filmmaker, for some reason, passes, we'll be like, oh, okay, good luck.
Sure.
But mostly everyone says, sure.
Yeah. Well, most people want to screen their films, but, you know, maybe there's a conflict with a premiere or something like that.
It was just like, and then I watched half of it again, because I'm in and out of the theater when I'm there, as we're showing the films, and I just got so taken again by the end of that film, you know, and... it's just like, and that's the other thing. Programming a festival, I don't have a theater at home. I don't have a movie theater at home. So when you screen films, I think all programmers go through this, unless you have a big screen TV in your place or in an office, you're watching films on a computer and or sometimes on your iPhone or something like that. It's so great to see these on the theater screen in an audience hearing reaction, you know.
Absolutely.
And that's it's almost like mind blowing sometimes to go, oh my gosh, I'm so glad we picked this because it's so great in a theater.
Right. Well, I was mentioning that to somebody, I think today, that, you know, I watched a lot of films on my phone and, you know, you get distracted so easily and there are some nuances I would miss.
Right. Yes.
And so I thought it was a good film, but I didn't really, you know, connect with it totally, but I knew there was something there.
Yeah.
And then when I see it in a different setting, I realize, like, why I liked it.
Right.
You know, there is an impact that's made, and you know, that's what was so important to us when we started putting the festival together, is to have that place to screen these films. It's so important, and it's such a joy as a filmmaker myself to see your work.
And another tip I will give other programmers is don't watch, like, if you, like, when you're grouping a lot of films together, don't binge too much on so many films, because you might be tired and you might have a reaction to a film later in the day than you did at the beginning of the day. So it's like, pace yourself as a programmer. You're going to be watching lots of films for a festival.
Yeah.
You don't want to miss gems like Bath Salt.
Yeah, no.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
That means a lot to me.
That's some great insight to just kind of how, you know, from a filmmaker's perspective, like knowing what you guys are looking for when you're looking at these films.
Yeah, I mean, I made one short film myself about 10 years ago, and it got into some festivals, and, you know, some festivals didn't want it, but some said, this is exactly what we want. And, you know, it's tastes are subjective. That's the other thing, you know. Like, at some of the festivals that I've worked and I've screened for, I'd be like, I'd go, oh my God, I found a great film. But for some reason, the programmers chose not to pick that film. And, you know, it's not my place to ask why, but everyone's taste can be different.
Well, there's so many reasons, as you know, why a film, when you're programming them, you know, it just might not fit anywhere, or, you know, you just maybe run out of screen time.
You know,
we have a 10-day festival, but that's still a limit.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, so. You know, you may love so many films, but not all of them can play.
And we got so many submissions, we're showing everything just once.
Right.
Like, a lot of festivals will have maybe a smaller amount, but show multiple times. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a plus to that, but it's nice to know that this was the only moment. This was the moment for it to shine this week, you know.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, where's this going after Kew Gardens, if anywhere?
It's up in the air right now. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting to hear back from a lot of festivals. You know, I'm hoping that after we do the festival circuit, I'll put it online, distribute it online, so it becomes more accessible to...
Like I did with mine.
Yeah,
mine's on YouTube.
Absolutely, on YouTube, Vimeo, you know, one of those. And because after it loses its premiere status, the important thing is just making sure as many people can see it as possible. So that's the plan right now.
Well, we want to thank you so much. I mean, I think it's, you know, it's interesting for me to hear that you did the research on the festival, and, you know, because I think that's an important thing too, is knowing where your films might fit.
Right.
You know, because if for whatever reason, you know, some festivals, they want more of the kind of soft studio type of films and the bigger budget features, and, you know, people, I've heard of people just, they just submit to everything and they don't even realize, oh, that's a horror festival, but I have a comedy.
Yes.
You know,
right.
Oops, you know, whatever. So it's good that you're putting in the work to make sure your film gets seen in the right places. And then for Bob, I mean, I've heard nothing but positive experiences. People are loving, you know, where their films are showing, what they're showing with. And so, you know, we want to thank you for all the hard work you've done for make this a successful week.
Yes, and while I'm here, it's my only time this week to do this because we're busy at the theater. I want to thank Jason for bringing me on board. You know, this was his dream to do this festival, and I was just, you know, it's an honor to finally help pick and shape a festival. It's wonderful.
Great.
Yeah.
Any parting words, Craig?
I mean, it's just amazing that it's a 10-day festival. Also,
I know. One of the things I said to Jason at that Dunkin' Donuts, I was like, "Really, 10? Your first festival?" That's how he thinks.
It's excellent.
That's great. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well
thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Great.
Thanks for submitting your film, Grace.
Thank you for accepting it.
Mutual Admiration Society
yes,
here.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, everybody, for being part of the Kew Gardens Festival of Cinema in our inaugural year.